22 minutes to go before 5 o'clock here on Downtown, brought to you by Hollywood Casino Hotel and Raceway at 500 Main Street in downtown Bangor. It's time for Sports Lit 101. Rich Kimble, Bruce Pratt here, and we are joined on the Tiller and Rye telephone line by the author of a wonderful book entitled Crack of the Bat, A History of Baseball on the Radio. James R. Walker, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Terrific to be with you.
I love what you say as a radio guy, especially when you say early in the book that radio is a writerly medium and certainly a medium that honors the English language. We attempt to do that here, and you've written about some people who were able to do it quite successfully.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that writers respond to, and many writers have really loved baseball on the radio and written about that, is the use of language. And I think it's remarkable what is able to be accomplished in the spontaneity of the moment, and the ability to construct beautiful language that articulates something that's unfolding at very rapid speed right in front of you is truly an amazing skill, and my hat's off. As someone who's written and done a little announcing, it seems to me that those skills are amazing.
Hi, Jim. It's Bruce Pratt. One of the things I really liked about the book is it brought me back. I grew up in earshot of Mel Allen and Red Barber. I was a Yankees fan. I grew up in southern New England. Is Barber the standard bearer? Is he the one that Vin Scully comes from, that all the great announcers come from? Is he really the first really good announcer?
Yeah, I think there certainly were very good announcers before Red Barber, but I think Red Barber becomes the first sort of nationally renowned regular season announcer, and one really identified initially with the Brooklyn Dodgers and then later with the Yankees. But he becomes somebody who's really a national figure in radio. And he, I think, as opposed to most early announcers, really took the craft seriously. He wrote about it very intelligently in a book called The Broadcasters, which I think is still a great primer for a baseball broadcaster. And many of the contemporary broadcasters, Scully being the most important one, and certainly the one with the longest career, and many would argue probably surpassed Barber in terms of the longevity of his career and even some of the skill that he brought to announcing the game. But others like Charlie Steiner and Pat Hughes in particular really believe Barber is the sort of beginning of the modern school of announcing, and somebody who really celebrated the journalistic tradition of baseball announcing, which isn't necessarily the dominant tradition, but it's certainly one that ties to privileging very clear and accurate reporting of the game, being entertaining, but also being factual. Red Barber was a stickler for facts, and even when he did recreations, which were common when he first started doing broadcasting, he made sure that there were no sound effects. He made it clear that the audience could hear the telegraph in the background. He wanted people to know that this was not an actual broadcast from the field, whereas many other recreators did just the opposite. They tried to create the illusion that the game was actually being viewed by the announcer. Barber would have none of that. He really was a stickler for facts.
And when you talk about Barber as a professional announcer, sportscaster in particular, in the early days, which was very fascinating to me to read about, the folks who did the play-by-play of games when this first started back in the 1920s were certainly not sportscasters, because that had not been invented yet, but people like Harold Arlen, Graham McNamee, were known for other things than their connection to sports.
Absolutely. Graham McNamee wanted to be an opera singer, and he had obviously a beautiful voice. He wasn't that successful in his singing career, but he was dramatically successful as an announcer. But announcers back then did everything. Red Barber did variety shows in the early days of his career, and even later in his career, he did other sports. He worked year-round. He was very notable for his college football broadcasts throughout his career. So it really started with a generation of announcers who did almost everything, and then did baseball in the summer and became more specialized. And now, obviously, it's a much more specialized profession.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you is I have my own feelings. I think Rich would agree. Why is baseball, and maybe secondarily hockey, but why is baseball better on the radio than any other sport?
Well, I think one of the things is that the pace of the game, two things, the everyday nature of the game and the pace of the game. The everyday nature of the game means that if you're locked into a team, and particularly a team that's doing well during a pennant chase, you're really following that on a daily basis. And that's really not true of any of our other sports. There's more of a break. So I think the daily nature makes the game and the announcer more important as you lock into it. Now, obviously, we don't all listen that way, but people will do, and particularly when the team is doing well or the season is an exciting one, we will often listen. Or people listening in their car may tune in at a regular time each day. The other thing is that the pace of the game, which is a negative for lots of people, really allows the announcer to do all kinds of creative and imaginative things, both on radio and television, but especially on radio. And it really allows for that creativity to come out. It's also the challenge of the game. The announcers that I spoke with have often done other sports in addition to baseball, particularly early in their career. And they all universally say that baseball is by far the most difficult game for the announcer to do, but it's also the most interesting one for them to do because of those breaks. So I think what's a negative for a lot for some people with baseball, I think, becomes a positive. It really allows for great storytelling. It allows for humor, the spontaneity of the moment. And I know Pat Hughes has always lauded some of the great color commentators he's worked with their ability to work with him and take the dull parts of the game or even the dull games or even the dull parts of the season and make them much more interesting. So I think it really lends it to it. And then also I think just the imagination that can be created. Sometimes the game that we actually see before us or on television isn't all that interesting, but I think a clever announcer can make fairly routine plays a little more interesting and certainly can provide a background. We also create our own replays in our mind when we listen to the game on the radio. We don't have to see them. We recreate them.
We're talking with James Walker, the author of Crack of the Bat, and you mentioned Pat Hughes, who wrote the foreword to the book. And Pat is one of the people who has embraced not even a modern trend. It's been going on since back really in the 1940s and 50s, but having the former player in the booth as a color analyst, worked with Ron Santo for a number of years. But not everybody was a fan of having former players in the booth with them.
No, Red Barber generally preferred to work alone when possible, and Vin Scully, his protege, does. And many of the early announcers resented the incursion of players. Barber, in particular, was quite critical of Phil Rizzuto when he first became an announcer because he felt that he hadn't. It wasn't so much that he was an ex-player, but he felt that he hadn't earned his chops, that he hadn't really trained, and that he did not prepare the way a professional should. And Barber was a stickler for preparation. And so he was a little bit resentful of that. So I don't think it was a case that he was just resentful of ex-players. He had no problem with somebody like Wade Hoyt, who was an ex-player, but somebody that prepared well. And if you go back to the earliest days, the commissioner of baseball, Commissioner Landis, when he controlled the World Series rights, for a number of years refused to let ex-players announce the games because he feared they would somehow be prejudiced for one team or another, either their own teams or teams that they had played with, or that they wouldn't have a vested interest in not be objective in their coverage of the games. He gradually relented on that, but there was a bit of an anti-player bias. But players obviously have been contributing immensely as color commentators for decades, and some of them have become some of the best play-by-play people in the game as well.
Well, that's where my question was going next. Who's the best sidekick? Who's the best color guy you think out there, being an ex-player or not?
That's a tough call. You know, he's passed away now, but I think Ron Santo was somebody who was a wonderful personality. He was not a very good descriptor of the game. He's notorious for when things didn't go well in the field, just simply saying something like, "Oh no," and leaving it to the fan to imagine what horror had just befell the Cubs. But he was a very entertaining and energetic commentator. So I certainly think he was a great commentator. Tim McCarver, who's back on radio now, certainly was a great announcer doing both sides of the job, and I think he certainly would stand out in my mind.
Well, it's a wonderful read, a Crack of the Bat, a history of baseball on the radio. Jim Walker, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. We really enjoyed the book and enjoyed talking with you as well.
It's great being with you. Have an excellent day.
Thank you, and how's everything in Nova Scotia?
I hope it's fine. I'm actually in Chicago now. I got a chance to visit in that region last year and just loved it. Would love to get back soon.
Well, thanks again for being with us and continued success.
Okay, thank you.
448 here on Downtown.